I've been thinking recently about choices. It's been said that the door of history turns on small hinges, and so do people's lives. The choices we make determine our destiny.
Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary.
My brothers of the sword, let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
What is most important is that you have to dig deep down and ask yourselves, who do you want to be? Not what, but who.
Make a choice, right? You just decide what it's going to be, who you're going to be, how you're going to do it. Just decide.
When we face such temptations in our time, we must declare, as young Nephi did in his, I will give place no more for the enemy of my soul.
I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in
jail. You're very fast. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going.
We're in hell right now. I believe you. And you can stay here, get the kick out of us, or we can fight our way back.
And then we interfere like who? All day like who? All night like who?
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now, go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't you quit. You keep walking. You keep trying. There is help and happiness ahead, a lot of it.
Everybody say hey oh.
What?
Hey oh.
Coming at it now.
Hey oh.
We're the worst hype man ever. Yeah, no, I love it. Welcome.
Back.
To the Eternal Warrior podcast, helping young people in their quest for self-mastery, sharing. Stories from the battlefront in the war against Satan and pornography.
We are also sharing stories.
We do sare on occasion.
We do enjoy just a good sare. Serenading.
Sure.
We will serenade.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
Or sare.
And a star.
See.
It's a little Espanol.
Yeah.
Guys, welcome back. Man. It's such a good...
Man,
we're recording this on a Sabbath day. It's a good Sabbath
it
day.
It is. It's good Sabbath.
It has been a
I'm
great...
I'm feeling it.
Aren't you, though?
Yeah.
I can tell.
Testimony meeting in our ward today? Wow.
Did you sare?
Guys, no.
Okay.
We got it popping today. It was good stuff.
Yeah. There may or may not have been an S word dropped from the pulpit.
Hey. It was, you know what?
What?
Rooming up for everyone in the choir.
Yeah.
Rooming up.
Spirit.
Rooming up for everyone in the choir. But it was
so funny.
It was definitely a journal entry day for sure.
Oh, that is awesome.
But for many reasons, we're joined by an awesome guest today. We're going to introduce you guys to Cam in just a moment. We're joined once again by a friend of the show and sponsor, Cody.
Haas.
Cody Haas.
Oh, that's me. That's me.
Cody, the Lumberjack Jones Haas.
Yeah, that's what they called him.
So they called him back in high school.
Oh,
wasn't it?
No.
Because when he'd go between the tackles, he was chopping wood. Because he's money.
I was laying lumber.
That's right.
That's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, we're happy to have Cody here. And just to make sure there's no confusion, this is not the same Cam that we had on just a few weeks ago.
That's right.
Because we had another Cam.
Different guy.
This is a different one. Equally as strong. And with a lot of strength.
He's got it. He's got strength in spades. Nobody's disputing that.
No.
But I will say this.
What?
You ready?
I am.
I wanted So we had some pretty neat experiences this week in terms of interaction from our community.
Yes.
And after last week's episode with Caleb, we had a really special friend of the show and listener call us and express to us that he has some people that he needs to reach out to and help and share his story with. And we wish that listener all the luck in the world. And we are so excited and grateful for you. For your strength,
yes,
and courage,
yes,
and just tenacity, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't think recovery really. I don't think the rubber of recovery really doesn't hit the road.
Yeah,
that was for Neil Maxwell alliteration. until we really do start to open up our circle,
yep,
and trust people with what we're going through, and really come out of the shadows. That's just me.
No,
I'm just a man.
I'm with you.
You are.
I am with you.
Tell me more.
Because
yes,
it really goes back to how grateful I am that Caleb came on the show.
Oh,
because
man.
Because his example of how to be open with people that he loves and trusts, you're absolutely right. I think that's when when shame starts to shed.
You're going
to
share a story about shedding.
Shedding shame.
That's when shed starts to shame. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I know what you're saying. I don't know if others know what you're saying. Let's try it again.
Okay, let's try that one more time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when shame starts to shed its skin. It's when you
much like a lizard.
Yes.
Or other reptile.
Yes.
The shame of skin? I don't know.
I wish you guys could see.
We just kind of wiggled it off.
Yeah, but I wish you guys could have seen the way Wes just shed his skin.
It was my Sabbath shimmy. That, yeah, much like that. Yeah, don't worry, YouTube's coming. Caleb showed us the example of kind of like, I guess, opening the door to recovery for other people by showing them a light in a dark place and being like, hey, you know what? Here's what I'm going through, but here's what I'm doing about it.
Yes. And no matter what, whoever we talk to about this, they may not have the exact same struggle as Caleb's friends did, but they will have a struggle. So our willingness to be vulnerable with somebody else that we love will create it'll create an atmosphere of trust and love and belonging and acceptance for whatever the challenges that you're going through. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, man. Like nobody is immune from the storms of mortality.
Correct.
Right. But What kind of ship are you sailing through?
Right.
Are you taking care of your rigging? Are you stitching your sails? Are you getting things ready for the storms that will inevitably come?
Correct.
Now, whether you're in, you know, the Bermuda Triangle of pornography addiction or going through something else, you need help. You need community.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. That's why we're not alone on Earth.
Speaking of community, last thought before we listen to a message. It is a live message, but it won't be live. It'll be the recorded one.
Right.
But a message from Cody Haas.
For me? All right.
Yes.
By the way, can I just say something about Caleb and you guys?
Oh, yes, please.
It's Caleb, awesome.
Please.
You know, it's awesome what happens when you first get into recovery. You're like the blind man, but then you get your sight. Even though you may get kicked out of the synagogue, you're just like, I don't care. I'm going to go confess and I'm going to go tell everybody, or not everybody, you don't shout it from the rooftops, but like, I'm going to go tell people I trust, and no matter what happens, I'm going to go share this recovery. You're blind, now you see. Man, and Caleb was such a...
He's such a boss.
Such a good example.
If you guys remember from last week too, we shared the poem of the six blind men of Indostan.
Mm-hmm.
We finally get to see the elephant for what it is.
Yes.
And having a full comprehension of what lies before us, even if we're grasping at one thing.
Right.
When we share that with others, we start to understand the fuller landscape of what really is going on.
And to allow other people to see you for the full elephant that you are, right?
Ooh,
here I am. This is the real me. Like, you've always gotten one side of me, but this is part of me that I don't share with many people, and I share it with you because I love you and I trust you. So that's, it's a beautiful thing. So anyone that has listened, hasn't listened to Caleb's episode, please do.
And that definition of true manlyhood comes out when we can be vulnerable enough. I mean, most of the world says manlyhood, stay hidden, beat this yourself, make sure and, you know, take this on.
Yes.
But man, when we express our vulnerability and totally ask for help, man, look at the differences it's made in all our lives because of it.
Yeah, that true strength of I'm not strong enough.
Yep.
Right? Of I am limited and I can't do this alone. That is really where that's where the spirit can take over and be like, and the atonement can take over and be like, all right, you get it. You realize that you're nothing. So I guess I'll take care of you. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And that, like you said, Wes, that's true strength. Mm. Just saying, hey, I am not strong enough. Help me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Help me.
Good job, Caleb.
Yes. Go, Caleb. Go. What?
Yeah.
I was going to say that speaking of community, okay, a really cool, we talked about stats last week.
We did.
We just hit a threshold of 400 unique listeners a week.
We did get there.
Yeah. I don't think I told you that.
Wow.
400.
So wow. 400 people have listened to the podcast in the last week.
Oh, that's so cool.
Which, like, what the heck? You guys are listening to this? Like, what?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to us. It's good to have you here. It's just really cool. But
it's all organic growth, too. Like, this is you guys telling someone, hey, I'm getting something out of this.
Yes.
So thanks. And again, the best thing that you can do, aside from telling people that you love about this, is to express how you feel about it digitally.
Yeah.
Wherever you're downloading your podcast, please leave us a review and a rating. Click on that most right star.
Correct.
Tell us what you're getting out of it. Yep. Write into us, podcast@lifechangingservices.org. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear who you've connected with from their story.
Oof. And on the other side of this message from Cody Haas, we have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Whoo!
Mm-hmm.
Do we ever? Oh. Oh!
But first.
Mm-hmm. Did you start saying like Amazing Grace?
Yeah. We're going to put music to Cam's story the whole time.
It'll be good.
It's going to be amazing. We're going to hum.
But first, a message from Cody Haas.
If you're listening to the Eternal Warrior podcast, it's likely you're listening for you or someone you love. My name is Cody Haas, and I am a licensed therapist who helps those dealing with sexual addiction, betrayal trauma, trauma in general, marital recovery, and mental illness. Over the years, I've gathered resources to help those who desperately want to get on the right track. If you feel you are in need, please reach out to me by calling 385-519-6089. Again, 385-519-6089 to set up an initial assessment. God bless you on your journey, my friend, and keep listening to Wes and Spenny. And remember, there's no starting or stopping in recovery. Just keep going and doing.
Ah, thank you, Cody.
You're welcome.
Yeah, now he's
kind of weird. I like it though.
Yeah. Is there anything that you want to add to Cody's words, Cody?
No.
Okay.
Good.
He nailed it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Didn't he say that so well?
That's the way that he said it was so suave, dude.
And don't you? I mean, wouldn't you want to go see him? Like, if you needed help,
man, I get to see him every day, and it doesn't get old, man. It doesn't get old.
Our guest this week, he speaks Spanish, and luckily Edward would be able to translate if we get into that. So
Edward has joined us.
Yeah, thanks for stepping in.
Those guys come from.
He's nice. I like Edward, but Cameron has a very unique story, and we're very fortunate to have him here to share some things with us that some of you may be encountering in your own life. Cameron, why don't you, or Spence,
yes,
what do you got?
I just wanted to say welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Dude.
Thank you. I'm so jazzed to be here right now. I'm like shaking. So maybe that's nerves, but
grateful.
The intro to your guys' show, even if I don't have time to listen to a full podcast, if I just listen to that intro,
oh, man,
like my hair stand up and I'm just like that warrior chemistry ignited. It's awesome. I love that intro.
That was Jeff, the goal. That's Jeff, our sound guy.
Yeah, our sound guy. Hey, yeah. This is Jeff. Yeah. I make the sound stuff. Yeah. It's dope. Get pumped. Get the Warrior Kims. All right. Thank you, Jeff. No, but seriously, that was the purpose, right? Like,
right.
If you guys have any other Warrior Chem stuff to send our way for our next season,
yeah, our homie Jared's been sending us some nice stuff. So,
dude, Jared's good at that.
He's money.
Dude, so. We need to collab with him.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a side note. But thank you for that. So that's awesome. I'm glad that gives you the Warrior Chems.
As far as my story goes, it's a story that I hope no one else ever has to go through, because. It's a rough story. Mm. It's tough go.
But that's why, just so you know, Cameron, just that's why we are so grateful you're here and for you to be vulnerable and tell us. Because there are, I mean, we said this before we started recording, but this has already been so, like, just to hear your story has been so impactful for me personally. And it will be for many others. So thank you for being here and willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
So Cam, if you wouldn't mind, first just kind of paint the picture. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and then maybe kind of walk into how pornography became a part of your life.
Yeah.
What that looked like.
So I grew up in Idaho and, normal kid, had four older brothers, beat the crap out of me every day, kept me humble.
There you go. I'm the third of four brothers, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But really, I mean, once I got into like junior high, you know, kids started bringing pictures to school, kids started like saying things they were doing with other girls. And it was just, it built this kind of curiosity, and that combined with, I had a lot of anxiety growing up that I didn't know what it was. I know I was nervous and stressed and depressed and angry a lot. And a lot of my friends probably saw me as a very happy kid. Because I always put on this face of happiness, yet I was inside. I was miserable. I was really struggling, and I couldn't tell anyone. I didn't know who to tell. I didn't feel like I had anyone I could go to. So that really kind of took off to that. There were two places that I felt like I could find happiness and relief. And one was in athletics and using my body and getting out there and doing something, playing sports, hanging out with friends. And the other one was pornography, which ended up being a lot more accessible than going out and starting up a basketball game with a bunch of friends when I could just go to a computer and access pornography. And for, you know, those brief moments on a computer, I was able to forget my anxieties, get away from my depression and anger, and then when I was done, man, it came back tenfold, and it was so much worse. Mm. But my brain only remembered the fact that I had a brief moment of rest. So,
wow, and oh my gosh, okay, sorry.
No, that's okay.
To interlude with the story.
Can interlude I really me, it's all right.
Because I was reading the story of Korihor, and the takeaway from that whole story was that, and thus we see that Satan will like not be there at the last day for his people. Like, isn't that, it's very similar to that feeling, right? Where we're like, oh yeah, we have that release, that just numbing everything out. But then he leaves us with less every time.
High and dry.
Right? Every just single empty. Time. Empty, worse off than you were before seeking that release, right? Anyways, keep going.
So, moving on later in life, you know, I went out, I served a mission, I served an honorable mission. I had some struggles out there with my depression and everything as well, and it was tough, but, you know, came home, and, man, that's when, to put it like Spence likes to say, when shiz hit the fan, I fell apart, because I went from this kind of spiritual high, always studying the gospel, to, you know, now what? And Satan saw an open door, and it was just like, okay, let's go right back to where we were before your mission. Only this time, I'm going to start involving girls into the equation. I'm going to start involving opportunities to physically screw up not only your life, but other people's lives. Mm. And,
Were you going to school at this point? What else was going on?
Okay. I was going to college. Okay. I was I was involved in a lot, still a lot of sports.
Dancing?
I was involved in dance.
Let's go. Such a good dancer. Which I did request personal dance lessons.
You did.
So that's going to go down. Anyone else that needs dancing lessons from Cameron, please reach out.
Podcast at lifechangingservices.org.
There we go. Way to promote my non-business that I don't even have. Awesome.
You're welcome.
Gotcha.
I love it. So I guess really just kind of jumping forward into the Horcrux, or one of the seven.
Go on.
We're
on bated breath here.
I ended up getting married in the temple and everything was great. And, you think that those temptations to watch pornography and to masturbate and all that is going to go away once you get married because, hey, I've got a wife now. So all those physical desires and needs will be met, right?
And Cameron, where did you hear those myths?
Oh, man. That would be in my head, Cody.
Big time, right?
Yeah. Okay. That was definitely a spike or... Satanas.
Satanas.
Yes. likes to say, you know, like, hey, it'll be fine once you get married. You'll be fine. You're not going to have any more problems. And what a bold-faced, fat lie that was. Years and years and years of going in and out of addiction, white-knuckling it long enough to make it to the temple, to be worthy, and then crashing down hard and either disfellowshipment or, hey, let's wait a month or so, don't take the sacrament, stuff like that. And really, I guess where it all kind of culminated was as that process continued to go on, that roller coaster of righteousness to wickedness, I got more and more depressed. And as I got more depressed, I started to see myself in the light that Satan wanted me to see myself, which was basically a worthless, unable to love piece of trash. And so every day in my prayers, I would say, God, please just take me. Get me out of here because this world will be better off without someone like me. Because all I do is hurt people. Everyone in my life, I've disappointed parents. I've disappointed my wife. I've disappointed my children. I'm in this constant state of everyone around me is looking at me like, how could you do this? Why don't you just stop? What is going on? And that put me in such a fragile state that Satan said, you're mine now. And you're basically going to do whatever I want you to do. And I'm just going to put the opportunity in front of you, which ultimately led to the ultimate betrayal against someone that I love and care about so much, which was physical infidelity. And at that moment, my world and her world and the worlds of so many people around me shattered. So.
Do you feel like... You mentioned those moments of white knuckling and trying mm-hmm. so hard to be worthy long enough or something. And
right.
Doing air quotes so people know. do you feel like that was something that you were doing more like a hoop to jump through, or it's something you really wanted? Does that make sense?
Okay. At that moment in time, because I was not in a state of recovery,
right.
I was in a state of white knuckling. I wouldn't say it was so much a hoop to jump through, but more I was just trying to do what everyone else wanted me to do. When in the back of my mind, I still wanted this other lifestyle and I didn't have the tools to know how to get away from it. So it was just like, you know what? Everyone will be happy if I just hold off long enough to go to the temple and they see me at the temple. I've painted this picture for them that, okay, Cameron's good now. Mm-hmm. And then I can go back to doing what I was doing before. And that was never my intention.
Yeah, you hope that you won't go back, right? But you don't know.
But without the tools.
Yeah, there you go.
You're always going to get led back that way, you know?
And it's why I am so grateful that you're willing to share your story is because all of those same thoughts and feelings that Satan used against me in those low moments, they're very similar, right? That feeling of I am the biggest piece of crap in the world. No one else is worse than I am. Your self-worth then is just, it is completely gone, right?
You believe that God can love everyone else, except you're the exception.
Yeah, or that the atonement works for everyone else, but not for you.
Right.
Right? Like, so many, yeah, those feelings, man, that, like, that deep, dark place that we've all experienced.
It's such a strange, like, looking at it objectively, it's such a strange juxtaposition of having a testimony in the atonement, but not for you. Like, all of a sudden, we're the exception. We don't count. And I think a lot of us have experienced that of, yeah, I know the atonement's real. I know that, and anybody can change, except me, I guess, because yeah.
I've tried so many times.
And it hasn't happened. Right. Or I think I've tried and it hasn't happened. And I don't know, Code, what
yeah. can you anybody, tell us about that? Anybody that's listening, in this case, right, like we get to a point where our brain compartmentalizes. It goes to, okay, if I just set this area aside and I feel good about this area, I feel good about putting on a facade, and I'm gonna actually be chemically balanced when I'm in that facade, okay? But the brain also compartmentalizes and says, oh, but this other reward system can be in place too, so make sure and believe it. Make sure, and then our chemistry, you know, goes out of whack and we go give in to some negative behavior. But just realize that this is a huge distortion of compartmentalization that the adversary uses. And it's driven by myths, it's driven by lies from a very early stage, especially for, you know, like, and Eli, or, you know, Cam had some of the caregivers in his life that weren't the best examples, but like we always learn, and what Cam's doing right now, Cam, can I call you Cam?
Sorry. Yeah.
Can
I call Cam, you Cam? I think I inserted that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Cameron.
Takes too long to say. Stick with Cam.
So when we learn that distortion is what the adversary is using, because he uses hundreds of different distortions and myths, then we can start to change the cycle of addiction and change the cycle of behavior and attitude in our families. And that's what Cam's doing.
And I think that's where this story, I'd love to hear now.
Oh,
moving forward, this, yeah. What it took to...
From the Big Bang.
Yeah. We life shattered. Go.
Life shattered. Obviously, there are consequences to actions, guys. And, unless you don't have a conscience, this is something that you just cannot live with. You can't keep it a secret. You can't hide that from people that you love. And so, you know, it led to a middle of the night, waking up, sobbing, wake up my wife, we need to talk. And from that discussion, you know, this is this is where that story that I wish never happens to anyone else starts to take place. I mean, but before, okay, obviously all of it, you don't wish upon anyone. From that moment, you know, it was, I was asked to leave my house. I was asked to no longer be around because I had not provided a safe environment for my wife and for my children. I had done something that had betrayed so many of the values that not only she, but myself held on to. And because of that betrayal, you know, I was asked to step aside. And I was given the ultimatum, either change or lose everything. And it's really in that moment that you're at that rock bottom stage that you have a fork in the road and you are forced to choose. And a lot of people think like, well, I'm gonna make the right choice. I'm going to automatically go for the, I'm going to be a better person. But to make this real, I did weigh both options. And Cody, in a session with him, he flat out asked me, he's like, so what are you going to do? Are you going to go just, you know,
go fool around with any girl that you want, watch pornography whenever you want, live the bachelor life? Are you going to go be free? Because Satan, absolutely, you know, he puts that picture in your head of like, that would be a great way to live. I can just go do whatever I want. I don't have to take care of kids. I don't have to worry about my wife. I'm free. And then there's the other side that says, if I'm going to go down the path of righteousness, I have to work hard. I have to repent. I have to stop doing these behaviors. I have to change who I am as a person, but not only make those changes, I have to want to do it. I have to have that desire inside of me that says there's nothing more I want in this life than to earn a place at the right hand of Heavenly Father, to earn my salvation. And nothing is going to stop me from that. And so I sat at that fork in the road and I did weigh both options. I had to, for it to be real, I had to look down both roads and make the choice. And I will tell you right now, I made the right choice. And going back a couple minutes, there are still consequences to actions. And you got to go confess. You got for those in a religious community, whether it's a priest, a pastor, whoever it is, confession to sins is in Christianity is basically it's law. You know, you sin, you confess. However, these actions were severe enough that sitting in an office with my stake president a few months later or a couple months later, about to walk into a disciplinary council, knowing full well what Heavenly Father had in store for me. I knew what the outcome of that council was going to be before I ever stepped in there. I was prepared for it and I was terrified of it. And 1 hour later, after telling my story, I walked out no longer a member of my church, no longer in good standing. And man, that's a scary place to be, to know that those blessings, that status, that who you are as a person, who you've known since you were 8 years old, has been taken away from you. It leaves this gaping hole inside of you where you're like, well, who am I now? Am I an excommunicated member who no longer has value, who the church is going to look at every time you walk in and you go, oh, my whole family is members, but I'm not. And they're all going to give you that sideways glance like, what'd you do?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you must be a real piece of crap. You know, Satan will put that thought in your head. Or am I going to look at it as, today is the day I was reborn. Today is the day I got to start over again. And man, the gun goes off and you just get to start running again. It's like the start of a race and that adrenaline's pumping and you're like, let's go. Let's get going. Because today, I change. And nothing, not even the armies of hell themselves, will stop me from making these changes. So.
Chills for days. Who wants to speak words after that?
Oh gosh.
How did you, how on earth did you choose to respond in such a positive way? I'm confused.
Yeah. and in addition to that, something to I would be curious to hear is, what was the choice? Was the choice as simple as I'm going to change, or is the choice I am going to get the help I need? You know, what was the actual choice made in that situation?
Okay. So first question was,
yeah, sorry, a lot of stuff.
How did you respond? How were you able to respond in a Christian way instead of how was the hand of God able to reach out and grab you and help you instead of being consumed by the darkness that had prevailed in your life previously?
Right. A lot of that had to do with the fact that I had already, because of that initial conversation with my wife where I dropped the atom bomb on our relationship, because of that, you know, and she said, leave and change or don't come back. I started going to counseling. I started going to therapy. Our lovely brother, Cody Haas over here, started that process of healing for me, to where by the time I got into this council, And I was staring down at all these men that were looking at me, judging whether I was fit to stay a member of the church or not. It became more of an opportunity to teach them what I had already learned, the tools that I had learned. And by that point, the reason my response to excommunication was so positive was because I had already decided who I was going to be. It wasn't in that moment of being excommunicated that I said, okay, well, now that I'm being excommunicated, I guess I will become a better person and change. It was, guys, just so you all know, I'm coming in here and I'm going to be rebaptized. Like that's already in the plans. That's in the future and that's not going to stop. So I think because of that healthy mentality of I had already started getting the help that I needed before such a heavy punch came my way, I was able to take that blow a lot better.
Mm. And your question, Spence. Yeah, thanks for that answer.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And then was the choice, because when we're faced with such a dramatic change that's needed to take place, it's overwhelming, right? We've tried so many times.
Yeah.
So what is the what does it look like? What is the choice that needs to be made in such a, because if it is just simply, I'm going to change. Well, I've said
it's
that.
It's kind of ambiguous,
I've said that
right?
It's ambiguous.
What's like the concrete first choice. Next step?
Yeah, yeah. What do I do to like, what's helped you? What was that first choice to get you back on the path?
Three words. Whatever it takes. It was this all or nothing concept. And this is something that people that I love and respect so much had asked me before, and I didn't have the answer. And then they asked me after this, and they said, Cameron, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to get your wife back, to get your family back? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Understanding how hard this is going to be. This will not be in 3 weeks' time, everything will be okay. This may not be in 5 years' time, everything will be okay. This may be, you will fight this the rest of your life and it will hang over your head. Are you willing to fight that fight? And so if you don't have that mentality, I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to be something that, I mean, it's an anchor on your ankles while you are swimming in the ocean. You will drown because you can't hold on to both lives. You know, scriptures say you cannot serve two masters. So,
so choose. why is the concept of time when in a situation like this actually more distracting than it is helpful?
The impatience of man.
All right.
That is, and as you know, that is one of my greatest downfalls is you just want things to be good now. You just want everything to be okay today.
You just want to be done.
Yeah,
I just want to be done with that.
I don't ever want
it. It's over.
I want to fix it.
Yeah, it right. is finalized. It is done
the
with.
The box is checked.
Describe the, Cameron, describe the like the body cast.
Oh, yeah. This is a great metaphor. All right. So on that day where I shattered my wife's world, let's paint the picture of I hit my wife with a semi-truck, okay? Yeah. An emotional semi-truck. So she's in the hospital in a body cast. And if you're going to go in there and be like, hey, honey, I'm so sorry that you're in all this pain. Could you make me a sandwich? How fair is that? How well is that going to be received? And how fair is that to the one that you love?
Oh, my gosh.
But I need my sandwich.
When is she going to be out of this body cast so I can have a really good sandwich again?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But that's real, though, right?
That and we then the do doctor that. Says what?
That's going to be a while. Yeah. Like, you're looking at some real recovery time here. You're looking at physical therapy. You're looking at pain. You're looking at a lot of tears, right? A lot of trauma. Like, she can't just make you a sandwich right now. So,
just like you said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
Right.
Well, when's my wife going to be healed? Well, whenever it takes.
Hmm.
It's a two-way street here, yeah. Right?
And with anybody that's dealing with, you guys have had the same question, when am I going to be done with this, right? When was the transition that you thought, you know, the concept of time is actually distorting my progress. It's delaying my progress.
Yes.
And when you realize, what did you have to realize that it doesn't matter about time? Cam goes into day one, but like, and I'll have him
talk about that.
You should talk about that for sure. But like, what was it that made you say, that is completely distracting thought. That's a red herring. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to ask that anymore.
Yeah, because it kind of transforms from, this is what I'm doing these things. I'm doing these things to recover and to be better and change, to this is who I am. This isn't just what I do. This is me, right? I am a warrior. I am a fighter. This isn't part of me anymore, right? It shifts from a time, I'm going to fight this and I hope to be done with this
and
by
12 weeks.
It goes from a task to an identity. And like, if we don't bridge that gap, then recovery, again, quotes, recovery is hollow and does not have the gravity and the strength to sustain us in for the rest of our lives. I think for me, I think it goes back, just responding to your question, Cody, of when did the change, when did I experience the change of, you know what, putting a shot clock on my recovery is more harmful than helpful. I think I wanted a timeline from the jump to have an expectation.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of mortality is managing our expectations and figuring out like what to expect and what's in the pipeline. But to your point, Spence, when I realized what I'm becoming in recovery, I don't want to give up. I don't want this to be over. I don't want to. And to what Cameron said, I hope it takes everything. I hope that my transformation requires all of my soul. Because if it doesn't, that means there's part of it that's left back, that's still in Babylon, that wants it deep down, that doesn't want to change. It requires a complete transformation, a total makeover, Spence, your favorite word. But I mean, thanks for sharing that, Cameron, because I couldn't agree with you more there.
Huge. Yeah, and I just think, speaking to that timeline we talk about, we think of things in mortality very finite, right? We think of it in time. So we think of excommunication as an end, or we think of when am I going to be done with this, or when am I going to be happy? Something is going to happen and then I'll be happy. Or once life is done, then we're done. And it's taking a step back and understanding that there's a very large picture here, that it's that what Cameron did and the way he looked at it is beautiful, that it wasn't an end, but just the beginning, right?
Oh, it was beautiful.
A
from
new
the start.
Beginning, a rebirth. And this is not the word you used.
Yeah.
A rebirth.
Oh man.
And one thing you and everyone listening does need to.
One thing that you're not saying though is punishment. Right?
Yeah.
There's no time out, right? There's no, sorry, you're bad, you're excommunicated. It's no, like, in order for you to gain an appreciation of the blessings that are in store for you, this is the first step of recovery and repentance. Faith, like the steps of the gospel are faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, second, repentance.
Yeah.
Third, baptism by immersion. And fourth, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Like, that faith, that first step is manifest in your story right now, Cameron, as excommunication. And you cannot, like, your ability to be in good standing with the Lord, excommunication was required. And I think it's so important. Yeah.
Absolutely had to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the only thing that was really going to allow me to see it for what it was. If it had been anything less, I think I would have taken it less serious. I think I would have, I would have glossed over it like, whew, skated by on that one once again.
Disfellowship.
Well,
Can I just two realizations in that time, right? It's not only a rebirth and a restart, but man, also the realization that you came to about how much work and how much mental work and how much trauma work and how much everything that comes into true recovery. The even, man, the amount of things that everybody has to accept from now on is extremely humiliating. I mean, it's just humbling, but my goodness, people that can do it, they really get, I mean, their developmental level on, you know, to become more like their Heavenly Father just increases. But is that vulnerability to let it all out there? Huge realization.
An example of that is, man, I'm so excited when I won't have to go to group anymore.
Yeah.
I'll be fixed. I'll be done.
Yeah.
Nope. No. I'm doing that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, right. I love group.
This is, I love group.
I love it.
Yes.
I live for group.
Like it, oh, yeah.
Yeah. If I don't go to group, it's like something's off.
Yes.
Because you need that connection. You need that validation of, I am doing what's right. I'm on the right path. I am rocking this.
Yes.
But if you think that when I walked out of that excommunication meeting, walking on cloud nine, tiptoeing and dancing around,
Yeah. You
got another thing coming. That was, I then had to call family members and say, hey, guess what? I had to approach my wife and say, your husband is no longer a member of the church. I've lost everything. And yet I've now gained so much more. I've lost, because what I lost was who I was. What I lost was my past. And what I've gained is the opportunity for a future.
So. Okay.
Spence, when we were talking about,
yes, okay, think
Cameron's
about this
story,
you need to hear Wes's thoughts about this.
What was the word that came to mind?
Oh, redemption. Your story is a story of redemption.
That's the reword you were talking about.
Yes. Okay. So now Wes,
so we were talking about,
it was the first word that came to my mind.
Well, and the things that you said of rebirth, renew, and in order, that prefix re means again, or to do over or whatever. You can't have a rebirth if you were never born. It would just be birth.
Right.
You can't have a renewal if you were never new to begin with. You'd just be new for the first time. And we talked about repentance, returning, redemption. You can't return somewhere that you've never started from or you've never been before. You would just be going there for the first time. You can't be reclaimed if you were never claimed in the first place. And to be deemed means to be proclaimed, means to be identified and chosen and selected. To be redeemed is to be picked again and to be loved again and to be cherished again. And to be cherished still. We can't.
It's beautiful.
Well,
beautiful. It's so awesome.
Well, it's just the way that our Heavenly Father feels about us.
Yeah.
Is there's nothing. We can't do anything that will take us away from His love. Repenting. I mean, I think it's Greek. The word repent means to turn again. All it is our orientation.
Yeah.
Brigham Young taught that a man, sorry.
Brigham Smith. So they had a hybrid.
There's probably an LDS guy out there named Brigham Smith.
Yeah,
right?
There's got to be.
I probably got a relative or whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
Brigham Young, not to be confused with Brigham Smith, taught that the man standing at the bottom of the staircase looking up is infinitely more righteous than the man at the top looking down. It's all about where we're oriented. It's about where we're going. We're all somewhere on the spectrum of spiritual staircases if you want to keep score on what step you're at. If you're that dumb and vain.
Right.
But I want to be looking up, and I see Cameron looking up. And knowing that we're oriented that way, I know that the atonement claims us. And that if you find yourself looking up at the stairs, it doesn't matter when you leave this life. Lord Jesus Christ's atonement ransoms you because you're looking where you need to. That's all He cares about. And if we're pushing forward on that staircase, we are returning. We're going back to somewhere that we've been before because we're familiar with it. We know it. It's what we're hardwired to be. It's in our warrior DNA. God doesn't make anything but. We're just going home.
Stories of redemption. It's beautiful.
Should this be called the re-episode?
The re-episode. The re-episode. Because, like, here's the thought that I had is, why do we love the stories of, like, in the Book of Mormon, of Alma, right? It's because it's such a, you see the contrast of life, right? That you see this.
Can really bridge the gap, right?
Can really bridge the gap and see the reach that Jesus Christ has. It's so infinite and powerful.
When you can see someone come from absolute darkness and change. The fact that you can see someone be considered one of the worst people in the city, going about trying to destroy the church, to a prophet of God.
Yes.
It gives you this hope of, like, I could be the worst person, but as long as I turn around and make that choice to serve God and to face Him, I'm going to make it. Yes. I may not be a prophet one day, but I will make it.
Yes. And that's why your story is so impactful, Cameron, is because you're living it. You're living proof that change through Jesus Christ is real. It's possible. And it's a choice. And so that's why I asked that, is what is the actual choice? I loved your answer. Whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes. I am gonna go.
Do your worst.
Yeah, do your worst.
Because I'll do mine.
Yes. Yeah. Here I come. That was so, dude, you're so dope. Okay.
And it's a conscious daily.
It is.
Daily effort and daily choice, right?
Okay, so that's what I wanted to do to get into. Was
Segway.
Segway, because it really is. It's not a one-time choice. It's not a one-time, because we want it to be that way too. We want it to be like an Alma the Younger experience where it's an angel visits, and then from then on, we're good.
Well,
right?
Alma the Younger had an angel visit him, but if you look at the scriptures, when he's asked later, how is it that you came to know these things? He didn't say, because an angel came and visited
prayer and fasting.
He said prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting. He didn't mention
that. Laman and Lemuel had an angel come to them. Angelic visitations are, I don't want to say cheap, but they're a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right?
Exactly.
It requires daily effort. Talk to us, Cameron.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us about day one and how that. Yeah.
Right. So day one, it has been a life changer for me. Day one was, I mean, I really got to a point where I had to decide every single day whether I was going to stay on that path, you know. So day one for me, so I run a Facebook page, and, you know, huge following of like 99 followers, you know.
Let's do it.
Get on the train.
What's it called?
It's at Day One Warrior.
At Day One Warrior.
At Day One Warrior.
At Day One Warrior.
I love it.
Follow that crap. Let's go.
Yeah, dude.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Plug.
Plug.
but really, day one is a three-tiered message, which is every day when you wake up, it is a fresh start. Tomorrow's in the past. You're never going to get it back. Just leave it in the past, because all it's going to do is harm. If it was a bad day, all it's going to do is haunt you. So just leave that on the side of the road. Today is a new day. And then the second tier is living it one day at a time. Don't worry about how tomorrow is going to be. That's not going to help you. Don't worry about, you know, I just got excommunicated. A year from now, am I going to be able to be back in the church? I'll tell you right now, it's been over a year and I'm still not there yet. Close. But I'm not there yet.
Let's go.
But, you know, it's
because we talked about this before the podcast, is we can future trip, right? We can trip on, like, oh, it's that time thing. It's the timeline again, instead of having a, nope, I'm going to control what I can control.
Yeah.
And right now that's my today.
Yep.
Very cool.
Tier three. Let's see.
Tier three. This is the rough one. This is one that most people don't see coming. And that is that today, on this day, you could lose everything. You could lose family. You could lose salvation. If you make the wrong choice, if you go down the wrong path, it could all be taken away from you again. And to have fought so hard to come so far, to then go right back to where you were, is a devastating idea, right? To be like, I've been in recovery for 5 years, and what I just did put me right back is devastating. It's haunting. And so when you wake up in the morning, if that's your mentality of, if I screw up today, I could lose everything, are you really going to go out there and screw up? Are you really going to, are you going to want to see the look on your loved one's face again when you say, guess what? I screwed up again. Here I am. Give me your heart because I'm about to rip it in half. Do you really want to live through that again? It's that whole concept of remembering versus forgetting. You need to forget those sins of the past, but you need to remember the pain you caused so that you don't do it again.
I think, you know, I've heard someone say, in reference to the Savior's resurrected body, Alma teaches us that when we're resurrected, everything will be restored to its proper place. The hairs of your head will be restored.
Which I am very grateful
Spence
for.
Spence will get it back. And
Jesus.
Please. But everything please will be back to where it was. And someone, I was in a, I think it was an institute class where somebody asked, why does Jesus still have scars from the nails and the sword in his resurrected body? And I remember very vividly my institute teacher saying, that is his perfected version. Is that
That's awesome.
I mean, the New Testament says we are graven on the palms of his hands, that he loves to look down and remember his pain that he suffered in our behalf, and that he invites us all to come and feel him, thrust our hands in his side, and to testify he is the Christ. He is. It's so important that we don't ever forget our pain, because that's what connects us to the Savior.
Right.
That's what really does help us realize what he's done for us, is when we, you know,
we just got to redefine it.
Yeah.
We just got to redefine it, reframe
it. What does that mean? Tell us.
Well, a lot of times we look back to negative, shameful events as regret, and regret just, what that does to our chemistry is it just sets us off. It makes us stay in that depression or in the anxiety. But redefining it says, no, because of this experience, I came even closer to my Heavenly Father. I'm redefining it. It was one of my greatest weaknesses that has turned into one of my greatest strengths. And so,
or strengths.
Strengths. But
is that not Ether 12?
Yes,
it is,
exactly.
Right, it is.
And so, it, very much, if we've had some regrets and we've had some bad things in our past, transforming that into experience. The opposite of regret, the antonym of regret, is experience. It's making us who we are today. It's forming us into what God wants us to develop and wants us to develop to be.
And what? Oh, Cody, dude! Holy smokes! Because if I could say one thing that Cody helped me with, that a therapist and that therapy can help you with, is exactly that. Reframing, redefining, because I saw myself in such a light that until I was given the opportunity to have empathy towards myself and what I'd been through, there was no way I was going to recover from that. Right. It's flipping it. It's almost like a name it, notice it, name it, flip it, find it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's really what has been a game changer for me. Yeah. I see myself completely different. I have redefined the way I see myself and the way that God does, right? Not cool.
And that's when I see you differently. Repentance comes into place. Like, repentance isn't just like, I'm gonna forget this experience and just move on. Like, we have to, I mean, if we're going to not repeat another re,
yeah,
right? If we're not going to repeat it, we have to repeat. We have to redefine it. We have to reframe it. We have to say, okay, because of this experience, this is how it shaped me.
Yes.
And so I cannot, I mean, yes, there's going to be pain, but the pain is met with not regret anymore, but with experience, saying, oh, I'm so glad Heavenly Father in Christ got me through that.
Yeah. I don't want to ever peat that ever again.
No peating.
I do not ever want to peat once more.
That'd be like mulch that you'd put under your garden. I don't know.
To repeat it.
So Cameron, a lot of what you said reminds me of my favorite poem. Is that too trite that I do another poem? Because that's like my
poem. I love your poems.
Anyway.
Bring it up.
Old Bob Frost, Brother Frost. The one, Robert. That you guys, you know where I'm taking this.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm taking it to the road that wasn't.
Take me there.
The road not taken says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though, as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same.
What's the
next? Wait, hold on. It gets better.
Oh, okay.
I should really pull these up and not just try to pretend to remember them.
Something about...
The next one is... And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. I kept the first for another day, and yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Mm. And that second to last stanza where Frost says, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I shall ever come back. That the choices that we make lead to other choices, and that fork we may never return to. And so I wanted to ask you, Cameron, in the spirit of why do you fight? How did choosing to be reborn, how is that leading you from way to way?
Yeah. First of all, bravo. That was very impressive.
Right? I mean, my grandpa's rolling over in his grave. Get a poem right.
You might be thinking he had something pulled out in his hands, but that was all memory right there. Yeah. I'm impressed. My fighting, man. I have felt for a very long time, even before I really got into recovery, that the reason I had these problems was because one day I was going to need to help someone else. And going as deep and as dark and as rock bottom as I went, that almost anyone could go, and then starting that ascension back up, I realized that Heavenly Father he has given me the opportunity to see the darkest scenarios, the worst case scenarios in people's lives, that they can come to a friend and they can say, look, I did something dumb and I don't know how to deal it. And I can say, well, guess what? God has put me in your life for this reason, because I can help. First of all, let me give you a hug and tell you it's going to be okay. And then you and I are going to move forward together. And so I fight because, believe it or not, God has a tool belt. We are all tools in that belt. And whether we are a useful tool that is always sent to fix and is reliable, and it's that go-to screwdriver that's going to magically, you know, be put in his hands, and he always goes to it on his hip right there every single time, you can be that person, or you can be the one that is covered in rust, doesn't work, seems to make things worse. That is up to you. And I fight to be that reliable tool that he goes to every single time when he sees one of his children desperately clawing for some sort of light and hope when they are dying inside, that he can say, Cameron, I need you. I need you to be there for this person. And in that moment, that I can answer that call and say, I'm ready. I've got this. We've got this. Let's go.
Let's go. I can confirm, Cameron, that you are an instrument in his hands, right? Like, just like those sons of Mosiah.
We don't want to call you a tool.
Yeah, so that's why I said instrument.
I'm a huge tool.
Cameron, you are a tool.
Thank you.
You are a weapon.
Yeah. No, an instrument.
A tool of war.
There we go.
I like it. You are an herramienta.
Herramienta.
Yes. In gringo language.
Herramienta. Significant tool, doesn't it?
Tool, yeah.
Significant tool.
Thank you, Frank. No, what was
Edward.
His name? Edward.
A lot of Frank. You're welcome. Edward. Gracias.
Dude, seriously though, Cameron, thank you.
Oh,
thank you, 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 thank you for coming on.
Thank you for letting me share my story.
Dude, like, your story will change lives. You are an active instrument in his hands. You're doing it.
I want to know what's next. Where are you going now? What's day one today?
Day one today?
Yeah.
Oh, today, man, it's hard to top what's going on right now, but today was all about, honestly, enjoying this moment. I've been looking forward to this for so long. And today's day one motivation was tell your story and tell it right.
And you've done it, dude.
And, you know, I know it's not a one day at a time thing, but the next big cog in that wheel, the next big event is that baptism. And it is, it's not just out on the horizon. It is in reach. And it's coming, and there's nothing that's going to stop me from getting to it.
Does the Eternal Warrior podcast get an invite to that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, can we come?
we would like.
I will. I'll send you the date, and you can just send that message of hope on to other people that there is. It's possible.
There'll be an update for sure.
Yeah, let them know. Oh, man, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Restored. That's the word just came. Yeah. Restored blessings. Given again,
yes.
With not just because you've done what you've needed to, but because he wants to, you know.
Oh, I love it.
He's so pumped to give you that back.
I love who I am. Like it's so cool to love who you are. To look in the mirror and be like, I'm a good person.
And for how many years has that not been the case, right? Like for me,
31 years.
Yes.
And I'm 32.
Yes. Right. So, isn't it the most beautiful? It is the most beautiful thing. To come to that place, I'm a good person.
You are a good person.
I'm a warrior. Hey, mm-hmm. Thanks, Cam.
I got you,
dude.
You're all right, Spence.
Keep him humble.
Let's keep that head.
Well, we got to get Cameron to his family dinner.
That's right. But man, we love you. Thank you so much for being here.
Seriously, thank you guys.
And Cody, thank you for joining us.
Yeah,
love you, man.
What a special episode of the Eternal Warrior Podcast.
We'll definitely keep you guys updated on Cameron's journey.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us yours.
Yeah.
Tell us your journey. Podcast@lifechangingservices.org.
Tell us your story. And if you want to come and share it on the podcast, by all means, we love you.